Oh, how marvelous, so how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, so wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Beautiful, beautiful songs. And really, it's uplifting coming here to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And this is exactly what we're going to be talking about. So this just fit perfectly with the lesson this evening, the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to start with love. Tomorrow we'll be talking about joy. And in the afternoon, we'll choose another topic. But let's start with the, most important, which is love. And first of all, me and my family are so grateful and so thankful for the invitation. We look forward always to come here each year and to be with you and to shake your hands and to give you a big hug and thank you so much for having us. We're so thrilled and so blessed to be here and study and worship our Lord together. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, we're going to start by reading this scripture, this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, the Bible says the following. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Have you ever noticed that the word fruit is singular while works is plural? This suggests that the individual works of the flesh are varied and not necessarily related. But the fruit of the Spirit, though possessing various characteristics, is in reality just one. Made possible, of course, by the combination of all nine characteristics that we just read in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You know, a person may be guilty of the works of the flesh when only committing one of the works. But a person cannot be said to be producing the fruit of the Spirit unless all nine qualities are demonstrated together in his or her life. Just like 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8, you know, similar to the graces listed there. Let's just read it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. It says the following. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other versions says, for example, supply, and this one says add. For this very reason, make every effort to add or supply. You know, this implies that the graces are connected to each other and are all necessary to growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, while a person may possess one or more of these graces listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that alone does not constitute the fruit of the Spirit. One who is led by the Spirit will produce them all. So as we begin our examination of the fruit of the Spirit, it is only natural that the virtue of love should head the list. Because where God is love, the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Also, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, love is the greatest virtue of all. It says, 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of this is love. But the question is, what is love? What is love? And what place does it have in the life of a Christian? And how can we best demonstrate our love toward God and toward men? How can we demonstrate it? Well, these are some of the questions that we will be seeking to answer in this lesson as we begin with our study. So first of all, let's define love. The Greeks had four words which we translate love. The first one, eros, for the carnal sexual love. The second one, phileo, for the love of close friendship. Storge or storge, the love of family relationships. And the last one, agape or agape, that love which seeks only the highest good of others. And it is this kind of love, agape, agape, that, you know, that Paul mentions in our text, and he defines in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 8. It's a very common verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we have there the true definition of love. Let's read it, although we all know it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, the Bible says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Again, love never fails. You know, even Jesus used this same word in Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Listen to what Jesus said. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Matthew 5, 43 through 48, the Bible says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. He causes his son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So even Jesus talked about this kind of love, agape, that is the love that which seeks only the highest good of others. So let's take a closer look at this word, agape or agape. You know, agape has to do with the mind. It is not simply an emotion which rises unbidden in our hearts. It is a principle by which we deliberately live. Agape or agape has supremely to do with the will. It is not an uncontrolled reaction of the heart, but a concentrated exercise of the will. It is not, for example, it is not, like I mentioned, a reaction only, an emotion. No, it is a concentrated exercise of the will. It is a caring love, one which becomes involved with the needs of others. This is very important. It does not depend upon the one being loved having to earn such love. It is not an exclusive love, but an all-embracing benevolence shown toward all people. So the perfect illustration of this word, agape, we have it in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 13:11. This word, this love, begins with God. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote about this. Second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. The Bible says the following. It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." So we see very clearly that this word, again, it begins with the God of love. You know, God does not have love. God is love. And that is the most and beautiful thing, an awesome thing. Also, His love is completely undeserved love. Yes, we read this in the Bible. Romans 5:8, listen to what it says, the same Apostle Paul. Romans 5:8, the Bible says these beautiful words. Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What a beautiful verse right here, that His love is a completely undeserved love. Also, His love is an inseparable love. Right there in Romans chapter 8, just a couple of pages down the road, Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, listen to what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither high nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Man, what an awesome, awesome scripture in the Bible. You know, every time we might feel down or sad or something because of circumstances in our life, just read this passage. It's just a beautiful, uplifting passage that it shows us that His love is an inseparable love. Nothing can separate us from God, from the love of God. Indeed, love is a great love, willing even to save sinners. This kind of love, agape. Remember what was the definition? The love which seeks only the highest good of others. Well, his love is a great love, willing to save sinners. Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. The same Apostle Paul writing to our brethren in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, Paul wrote the following. He said, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressing his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Wow, we were dead in transgression, the Bible says. It says, even we were dead in transgression, but by his grace, because of his love, it's because we are alive. We might die physically, but we are alive in Christ Jesus. That is our hope. That no matter what happens here, no matter the pandemic or wars or anything that might happen here on earth, we are alive in Jesus. We have eternal life in him. What an awesome thing. This is the word agape and the love that God has for us. Let me tell you, this word agape, love, finds its complete fulfillment in Christ. Yes, because God's love reaches its peak in his Son, Jesus. Romans 8:39, listen to what it says. Romans 8:39, we read the following. Romans 8:39, it says, Romans chapter 8, verse 39, the scripture that we just read, the last part says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love, from the agape love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So God's love reaches its peak in his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember what John 15:13 says? John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." Greater love. I mean, we cannot find any greater love than this. And we are so blessed with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. You know, a sister of the church often says to me, "Brother Juan, if we only say thank you in our prayers, that would be enough to God." And that's true. We're so thankful for everything that he has done to us. And we're so thankful for his love to us. The Bible says also in 1 John 3:16 the following. Listen to what it says, the apostle of love, Apostle John, 1 John 3:16 says this. 1 John 3:16, it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So how do we know what love is? Well, because Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That is the definition of love. Now, sometimes in society with the songs and everything, the romantic songs, "Oh, I love this," or "I love you there," and everything. And that's not wrong. I mean, I used to, you know, dedicate many romantic songs to Laura when we were dating and everything, and even nowadays, there's nothing wrong with the romantic songs, but we need to understand what really love is. What is love in reality? And this is what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Number two, love in the life of the Christian. Now that we have defined love, now let's see love in the life of the Christians. What is the place of love? Well, let me tell you, it is to be the atmosphere in which the Christian walks. That is the atmosphere in which the Christian walks. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Another version says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. So this is how our atmosphere ought to be. You know, it is the atmosphere in which the Christian walks. People around us would see it, feel it, notice about this. It is to be the tie that binds the garment that Christians put on. You know that song that we have in the songs book? The love tie that binds and everything. Well, listen to what it says. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. The same Apostle Paul writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But of all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Another version says, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So love is that tie that binds the garment that the Christian is to put on. And let me tell you something, brethren. Every single time me and my family come here, we can feel this love. And we appreciate it. We love you so much. And thank you for being a congregation that, you know, you can really feel this love and keep on this good work that you all are doing. Thank you so much for that. But what a beautiful thing this is. This is what Christians ought to put on, the love. Also, it is to be the universal motive for all that we do. This, again, this love ought to be our motivation for everything we do. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:14, it is a very long passage. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to have to read it, the whole verse, the whole passage. Listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians 16:14, it says the following. Let all that you do be done with love. Another version says, do everything in love. That's it. Very short, very easy to remember, but very important in our lives. In love needs to be the universal motive for all that we do. That's our motivation, because we love each other, because we love God, because we need and we want to express love. Also, it is to prevent our Christian liberty from turning into destructive selfishness. Listen to what it says in Galatians 5:13. This is a very important passage as well. Galatians, listen to what it says. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says this. For you brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but what? Through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. So, the very essence of everything, the essence of the Christian life is love. Also, it is to characterize our preaching and teaching of the truth. Not because we have the truth, we have the right to preach in the wrong way or, you know, to throw stones from the pulpit. Of course not. Listen to what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says this. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Another version says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So even though we have the truth, even though we know what we're, you know, following, we know that we're speaking the truth, we need to speak it in love. You know, it is what we say, but it's also how we say it, right? That is a very important thing. Some time ago, I remember, I don't know if it's going to translate correctly, right? Because sometimes sayings in Mexico is not the same sayings here. But there was a story that this couple had so many years living together and everything. And, you know, when they were married and they had like a couple of weeks living together, married and very happy, you know, he used to wake up and say, ¿Cómo amaneciste? Like, how was your night? Or, you know, like that, you know, how are you? You know, how did you sleep? But then time went by and the husband just had not a really good attitude. And he was like, oh, ¿cómo amaneciste? Just like, how's your morning doing, you know? And then time went by and the attitude got worse and everything, and instead of saying it with a love tone, like, ¿cómo amaneciste? How was your night? And how good day? You know, he was like, ¿cómo amaneciste? Like, how? Are you alive? Or something like that, that translate like that, you know? It is the same phrase, but completely different attitude, and it changes everything, you know? And I know that it might not translate correctly, but the attitude is what I'm trying to say is the most important thing. You know, speaking the truth with love, the Bible says, you know? And this is what we as Christians have, the agape, agape, you know, the love that we need to demonstrate. Now, let's go to the demonstration of love. Let's see how can we demonstrate love. First, let's see the improper demonstration of love. You know, some people think that we prove our love by shouting from the rooftop. Others think that whatever they do in the name of the Lord will be pleasing to God. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, the Bible says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now that we've seen the improper way of demonstrating love, now let's see the proper demonstration of love toward God. John 14:15, the Bible says the following. Let's go to John 14:15. The beautiful book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. Bible says, very, very clear. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, it says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So it is very clear, brethren, that the way that we demonstrate love is when we keep God's commandments. It's very simple, but it's very important. Another way that we demonstrate love to God, towards God, is when we love our brethren. 1 John 4:20 and 21, 1 John 4:20 and 21, the Bible says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So it's very clear that this is how we demonstrate, again, agape, love, that is one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Also, we demonstrate our love toward men by showing love toward those who are brethren in Christ. This is what the Bible says. Listen to what it says in 1 John 3:11. 1 John, the apostle of love, 1 John 3:11, the Bible says the following. It's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. 1 John 3:11, it says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. John 13:34 and 35, we'll know the scripture. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Beautiful. This is like this intrinsic thing. People will see that we are disciples of God. People will see that we are Christians when we love one another, when we help each other out. And this is exactly what we're going to be speaking next for a few minutes. Another way to demonstrate our love toward our brethren are when they are in need of physical need, physical help. 1 John 3:16 through 18, right there, the scripture that we are, 1 John 3:16, but let's read through 18, the Bible says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possession and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So this is another way when we demonstrate our love to our brethren. When we see them in need, it is sometimes very hard for a person to ask for help, especially either financially or help in a physical way. But when we see a brethren that is in need, you know, and we help them out, man, this is a good feeling. I'm helping my brother, I'm helping my sister out, you know, and this is just an amazing thing. And this is how we demonstrate our love. Also, helping them when they are in spiritual need. Not only physical need, but also spiritual need. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8. And I'm going to combine these two scriptures. 1 Peter 4:8 and James 5:19, 20. 1 Peter 4:8 and James 5:19, 20. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And then James says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back. Remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So, you know, this is how we also demonstrate our love. When we speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we, you know, in love, speak the truth. Hey, brother, you know, maybe this and that, or hey, sister, you know, this and that, but in love, we are helping them out, because at some point we will need help as well. And we will need somebody to show love, agape to us, if we need spiritual need as well. Now, loving God is what this is really about. Showing love toward those also who are not Christians. You know, we talk about loving God, loving our brethren, but guess what? We need to show love also to those who are not Christians as well. Because when we do that, we might bring them to Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke 6. Luke 6, 32, and then verses 35 and 36. It's very similar to what we already read. But let's look into it, because it has another words in it. Luke chapter 6. Verse 32, Luke 6, 32, it says, "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." Verse 35, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil." Verse 36. "Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." So it's very clear that we need to show love toward those who are not even Christians, so that way we can bring them to Christ and they can see the love of Jesus Christ in everything we do. In conclusion, it should not be surprising to learn that one who produces the fruit of the Spirit demonstrates the virtue of love in his or her life. The Father demonstrated love in offering His Son as a sacrifice for sin. The Son personified love in that way that He lived and died for us. The Spirit of God revealed what love is through the Word. Shall not one born of God and walking by the Spirit manifest love again in both his attitudes and actions? Of course. Even if we already excel in this matter of love, there is always room for growth. There is always the need for prayers such for these times of growing in love. So this is the lesson this evening. It's a short lesson. It's a lesson that we have heard many times about love. But it is the most important thing. It is the reason. It has to be the motive of everything we do. So I hope that this lesson has been a benefit to you, as it has been benefit to me when I was preparing this lesson. Above all, we need to love God and love each other. If you're not a Christian this evening and you are in the audience, well, the Bible says very clearly what we need to do to become children of God. We need to confess, to repent, to confess and say, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God," and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're a Christian but you have fallen away, well, God loved you so much. He loves you so much. He sent His own Son to die for us. So at this time, let us stand up and sing the invitation song.